Welcome everyone, this is Devon Dies the Podcast, episode 20, airing the 26th of October 2016. Everyone, I'm Joel Wright and I'm your host of this podcast, and joining me on this episode is no one. Yep, no one can be bothered to turn up. No, I'm just kidding. It's been a funny last few weeks. I did promise that we'll have a podcast out this Monday, I think it was, but everyone is just so busy at the minute. I mean, I think Tom's working hard where he works. Sam has just bought a new house and he is absolutely gutted the place and just got himself a new house. So he's just been working hard solidly on that and doing his day job. Lewis is just Lewis, flaky as ever. No head on shoulders will get that out. And I've actually been personally busy myself, and with a lot of stuff going on, I've been massively job hunting, so I actually have a few big interviews coming up that I have to prepare for and sort those out. And I actually did apply for the police force in my area. It's just something that popped up on Facebook when I was sat there looking at it, and I just clicked yes, let's have a go. And I'm through the first four stages, completed that at the minute, which are four online tests, and now I've got the big application form to do. So I'm kind of nervous and excited, and whether I am capable of getting through this or not. I mean, the application form is not a big issue. I've got a lot of help with that, and that it's going to be the day assessment day that will come up. That is going to be the tough one. So I'm also working hard getting myself into shape because there's a lot of fitness tests going on. So that is what's going on. I've got all that going on, plus some family stuff and things like that and blah, blah, blah. Everyone else knows. Everyone else has got family stuff going on, I know. I do get a lot, still have been getting a lot of gaming in, and enjoying that. It's just when we come to record, it's just tricky in the evening. So I'm doing this as a kind of like for you guys, so you know we're not dead and the podcast is still going. We did say we'll have one this Monday. It's a couple of days late, and if you're listening to this, it's probably just being recorded and put out. It's gonna be barely any editing to it. It's going to hopefully just be raw, because I just need to get this out and then get back to what I was doing previously. If you want, I'll go through some few bits. I mean, as I said, I have been getting some gaming in, and I've got a few review games in, and I've done a written review of Mystic Vow, which you can go to the blog site devondies.co.uk and read that there. It's not my best, but it's still a review. I've got that done. And hopefully in today or tomorrow, my Flume Rouge, I don't know how to say that, but it's Red Flag, basically, a bike racing game sent to me by the designer himself. I'm just in the last stages of putting that together and getting it up on the website. So hopefully today, tomorrow, maybe Friday, that will be up. You can go there and read that. I have done a few little videos, but I've still got to edit together, and it just takes so long to do. But I talked about loads on the podcast before that Mechs and Minions was going to be released on the 13th of October, and it was actually game night, and I turned up with my laptop and Lewis turned up with his iPad, and we sat there. As soon as 7 o'clock hit, we were hitting F5 or refresh, trying to get onto the site. The site did crash, which I did say it was going to do. There was points where we were just getting blank screens and nothing was happening. And it's quite funny, Lewis actually got through 20 minutes before me, and my my account wasn't working. I set up an account previous, had everything set up, but two of the games got put into my basket and I couldn't get into my basket to alter it. And I think that was what was shutting me down. So I had to then go on my phone and go to the website, which I did about the fifth try, and went in as a guest and finally got a hold of a copy myself. And probably about 10, 15 minutes after that, I looked on the website and it had all sold out. It literally just said item sold out on the website, which showed Lewis, and he was like, oh, phew. So we got through, and then probably about 10, 15 minutes later, they put up for the second wave, which is coming out in December. So far as I know, if you want a copy of this game, and we'll probably talk more about it once I've played a bit more of it and that, then you can still go to Riot Games website and order a copy, and it should be delivered mid-December. It might have changed by the time you listen to this, but go along, check it out. They give you full details of when it's going to be shipped and things like that. And the funny thing was, on the Thursday we ordered it, Friday, Saturday, Lewis texted me saying, has your status changed? It was just saying processing, processing, processing. And I said, no, no, it's still saying processing. And then hour later, I just texted him, just randomly said, oh, mine's saying packing. And he did come back saying, you're pulling my leg. I know you're pulling my leg. Don't do that to me, blah, blah, blah. So that went on. And then Monday morning, just got out of the gym, and I was looking through my emails while having a cup of coffee. And it said packing information, or shipping information, actually. And I looked at it, and it said it's ready to ship, and it's got a tracking number, which I couldn't click on yet because it had not fully gone through. And I text Lewis saying, Lewis, I've got a shipping number. How about you? And he's like, no, no, where's my one? Oh, my God, I ordered mine 20 minutes before. Where's mine? Oh, I'm so annoyed. If this doesn't come through by end of the day, I'm going to be so cross. I'm going to go on Board Game Geek, and I'm going to rant on there. I was killing myself. It was so funny. He was so wound up because he was like, I ordered 20 minutes before you. Why isn't mine being shipped? It was so funny. I was just constantly winding him up on text, telling updates on my game and things like that. And he was just getting so right. And he's like, but is it because you ordered through an account? I was like, no, I done a guest as well. And I got this order number. And he goes, but my order number's before you. Why is mine not being delivered? And eventually, by the end of the day, he actually did get his shipping details. And then it was being delivered by Wednesday, which was even just outstanding. Outstanding service. Unbelievable how cheap the game was, how cheap the shipping was to the UK. And the fact that it was delivered so quickly. I mean, yeah, okay, they had it all ready to go in the warehouse. I know that. But Thursday ordered it, and in less than a week, I had it on my door, which is brilliant. And not only that, when I received the box, I think I got a picture of it as well. The packing of it was unbelievable. There was no messing around with this packing. And like a big flat styrofoam sheet on the bottom of the box where the game sat, and then around the box had all those air cushion things, literally around the game, protecting the sides, whatever. And then they had bubble wrap around the game itself, and extra on top, and even probably another couple of pillows on top of the box just to give it extra. They went out of their way to protect this game. I mean, I have seen on Facebook, and some people have said that had got a few dinks or dings somewhere, but other than that, and it even came with plastic strapping. These people knew how to package a item that could take a few bangs and dents on the way from Germany, I think it was being sent from, to the UK or wherever it's going. They knew how the package is, and they weren't taking any chances, and it was just brilliant to see. I mean, compared to like Scythe, which is probably a bit smaller box and things like that, but the ridiculousness of what was used to package that game. Literally nothing, box too big, barely anything protecting it. And I actually am so surprised my game through came in one nick without a nick. I actually saw worst packaging arrivals of Scythe, and outstanding how all the games actually that were looked so bad from the outside once unpacked were all decent. They were actually pretty good. So, but Riot Games weren't taking any chance of posting these games out. So, outstanding. And I did do an unboxing video. I was having trouble because I was doing it via my phone and I was running out of space. So I was like taking video, sending it to my laptop, deleting it, and then trying to take more video. But I was having so much trouble with it. So hopefully I got enough in of it. And then once I've played a few more games of it, I might do my thoughts and a mini review on it to put up on the YouTube channel. So that's Mechs and Minions and the unboxing and getting it. So that's pretty cool. I'm going to hopefully put up a few more videos. So once I've done this Flame Rouge review, I'm going to work on some videos to go up because I've got a few games that will work better with video content than written. And so I'll get those up hopefully by the next podcast. And wow, so I mean, I've been to Meeple's Corner a few times, and I actually picked up Clank, a deck building adventure. Now Clank was just out of the just turned up. It turned up on the release sheet, and I looked at it. At first, I wasn't too interested, but it is actually quite cool style design, things like that, and it had deck building in it. So, okay, let's have a look, see if anyone's done any reviews on it. Lo and behold, Tom Vassell's done a review on it. Watched his video, and he described it, and it was okay. So it's just normal deck building, which it is. You get a starting hand of cards. You get a row of cards that you can purchase from, and some standard cards that are always available to purchase from. And you have a board, and the board is a dungeon with different rooms, and you have to delve deep into this dungeon to get an artifact and then get back out again. So it all seems quite simple. So, I mean, on the cards, you can have currency to buy more cards, you can have movement points to allow you to move to different rooms, and then you can have swords which help you fight monsters. The monsters turn up in the row, which is quite cool. And so he's describing this game, and he actually started off quite kind of melodramatic and was just like, oh, it's probably not that good. But then he actually turned around and he said he actually really enjoyed the game, so much so that it could outdo some of the deck builders that he's got. And it would stay on his shelf because he actually really enjoyed playing it. So, okay, I'm going to pick this up, give it a go, which I did. And got it from Meeple's Corner. And I've played a few games now, and I've thoroughly enjoyed every game. And what's cool about it is the clank mechanic. Now, the clank mechanic is a kind of negative thing that happens in the game to you. Certain cards have clank on it, a plus one clank, plus two clank, plus three clank. And what clank is that each player has 30 cubes of their colour. And if you play, you have to play all your cards in your hand on that's down. And some of them will just say add clank. And you put these cubes on this clank area on the board, which is simple enough, doesn't really do anything, until when the dungeon row gets refilled, and a dragon symbol appears, and all the cubes in the clank area go into this dragon bag, which it has its own black cubes in it. And then you have to pull out a certain amount of cubes from the bag every time you pick up every time this dragon symbol comes out. So you're drawing these cubes out, and if your color comes out, it goes onto like a health bar. And if your bar fills up with 10 cubes, then you are KO'd, okay? Now, if you KO and the bottom half of the board, that's it. You're out of the game completely. you can't score any of your victory points. Because a lot of the cards have victory points on, and then artifacts is victory points, and there's some other tokens you can pick up throughout the game which are victory points on. But if you get KO'd in the top half of the board, you can still score up, okay? So that's still fine. But if you can get in to the dungeon, grab an artifact, and then get out of the dungeon, you score extra victory points for doing that. But you also, and the same as the person who gets KO'd in the dungeon, first person to get KO'd or exit the building actually starts the countdown timer for end of the game. And there's four turns left. Once it gets around to that player's turn, there's four turns left to the end of the game. And if people are not out of the dungeon or not are still in or only get to top half, the game will end and that's you start counting up victory points. But every time this person moves along a spot, the dragon attacks. And the dragon will keep attacking until he gets to the last base and that's it, game over. So there's a really cool like push your luck countdown mechanic to this, which really makes it fun. While I thoroughly enjoy playing this at the minute, it could be one of my new deck building, new favourite deck building games so far. There's no solo rules to it, so you've got to play with other people because of this kind of push your luck mechanic. You can find that if you don't buy from the dungeon row, then nothing happens. So if people are just kind of like, I'm not buying this because there's a chance a dragon could come out, then that could hinder like the pressure of the dragon a bit. But that's kind of, what's it called? Semi-optimal play, really. You've got to buy these cards because these cards are cool. And some of the cards actually give you, as I said, victory points. Some of them actually move that you do lots of stuff. And there's all sorts of cards. And some of it's all really tongue-in-cheek kind of humour. It's not really a dark game. The artwork's quite cool and vibrant and things like that. So, and you want to buy these cards because it will make you better and it will help you get through. Because there's all sorts of obstacles in that area. And also sometimes cards you play, buy, or if you defeat a monster, make other people put clank in, which is really cool. So there's lots to it. I mean, you should check it out. It's an expensive game. It's £45 to buy from Meeple's Corner. So it is expensive compared to some other games, but you get a nice double-sided board. You get probably 200 cards, I don't know, about 150 cards in it. Nice wooden meeple for your character cubes, and that's it. But you get a nice plastic insert to keep it all together, which is quite nice. It's always handy. So yeah, and I've been playing it quite a bit, and I've just been sat there thinking, this could do with an expansion, just to up it a bit. So I'm actually, in my head, got an expansion going on, which doesn't need to be there in my head at the minute because I've got so much else to do. That doesn't help, but it's there. But check out Clank, from Renegade Games, that is. So it's pretty cool. Really enjoy it. What else? I picked up Three Wishes from Meeple's Corner as well. A little card game. It's meant to be a love letter killer. It's okay. It's a very memory deduction game where you've got three cards in front of you. You need one of each suit. There's three suits. And once you think you've got all three suits, you can end the game. And hopefully you're correct and you score points. But it's kind of like, you're swapping cards around, looking at yours, shuffling your cards on your turn. It's okay. Unlike Love Letter, where you are... Okay, Love Letter is just so basic that you draw a card and you pick one of the cards to do and you play it down. It's got that a bit more interaction of, like, guessing who someone is or making someone do something they don't want to do. And that's what makes Love Letter so fun. So I think these two games are enough separation that I don't think this will knock out Love Letter. But it's there and I enjoy playing it, but I just kind of get a bit bored with it. So that was three wishes. Oh, I picked up Vast. Saw someone done a big playthrough of Vast, the Crystal Caverns. And it's so cool with this asymmetrical playability. Everyone is something different and they play so differently to everyone else. And everyone's got their own kind of victory conditions and things like that. It's like what me and Tom said about Android Netrunner, where they play so differently and you've got your own victory trying to do. That I wish there was a kind of board game of the same type, ilk in a way, and this is what Vast is. Vast is Netrunner for board gamers who just want to play a board game and have different things going on. I've played one game, so a five-player game. So everything came out. And I played as the cave. That's right, the cave where I am building the dungeon they're going through. And that my victory condition in that is to expand as much as I can, so basically playing all my tiles down, and then I start collapsing it. And if I can collapse it to a point of five crystal tiles are removed, then I win the game. And that didn't happen. The goblins actually won. The goblins have to kill the knight, and they did. The knight wasn't playing to its optimum. We all agreed that the knight just didn't know what he was doing when he played. The dragon nearly done it, but I kind of cornered the dragon in, and all the dragon needs to do is wake up and escape. And dragon's pretty cool, it does a lot of funky things, but just couldn't escape because I kind of cornered it, and it needed to do a certain action to get out of this cornering. And then there's the thief. And the thief is kind of cursed, it keeps dying and coming back, and it has to steal five treasures to release this curse from him and then escape the dungeon, which he was nearly close to doing, but I kind of scupper him? No, I think someone else scuppered his plans on that. So that's Vast. Maybe talk about that a bit more on that. But other than that, I don't know, come slightly unprepared to do this. Let's go and talk on a few bits of things going on in the news. I mean, Essen has been and gone, and it looked successful as ever. Kind of sad I didn't go this year, but hey, lots of things going on here. The only sad news was Ludicreations and other companies had stalls there. I think R&R Games also. They got robbed, basically. Their till box got stolen. And Ludicreations, they lost a ton of money by the sounds of it. But the whole community came together and they made this quick game that they've released on Kickstarter called Steal This Game. And you can actually still back it at this very minute. There's only going to be a couple of days left. As I speak, 4 days left. And you can back it. Costs $5 to back it, and they will send you this little game, which is only a card, but you need a couple of dice, and then it's a two-player game where one person is the publisher, the other person is the thief, and the thief is trying to steal the game, and the publisher is trying to stop it, and it plays really quickly. But the whole community came together to help create this. People came together. Yeah, so David Chuzix actually came up with the idea and designed it. Paul from Gaming Rules helped with rules editing and lots of editing. Roddo came in and made a quick video, his like gameplay through and his final thoughts. And then lots of other people just come in and like done videos to help bring this up. And then they Friday afternoon, they stuck it on Kickstarter and they've raised a lot of money. And this money is basically there to recoup their losses, which is cool and everything like that. But then I wonder what the other publishers that lost out as well, wondering and thinking, hold on a minute, we lost out here too. But I don't know. Not there, not part of the scene, not part of the industry in that kind of way. So I can't really say too much, but there was other people that lost out. But anyway, other than that, Essen was a big hit. Lots of stuff got brought, lots of happy publishers, lots of happy punters. And hopefully next year I will go and be very sorted and comfortable in going this year, next year. Flashpoint Fire Rescue is coming to PC and iOS in 2017. Someone is making a app for the board game, but it's not just going to just be a board of kind of pasted on board. They've actually created the house with walls and things. It looks a bit like Sims in a way. And again, you are fire rescuers going into the burning house, putting out the fire and rescuing the rescuers. Everything in the core box is there, the roles, the buildings and things like that. It's all there. And then hopefully the expansions will follow to add on. So look out for that in 2017. While at Essen, there was a few kind of snag bits of people saying, look, we've got this, look what's coming out. And Pandemic Legacy Season 2 box covers were teased at Essen. And they look post-apocalyptic styled. Two covers again. Shouldn't be any difference between the two boxes, but this time it's different. And I actually did see the board. Or I might have seen the board. Maybe it was just someone put a cheeky picture up. But I saw someone put a picture up of a board apparently from the new Pandemic Legacy. And I have to say, if it is right, it is not the world. So bear that in mind. But it is in the works. It is in the making. But it all could change from now on. Other than that, Tika Island, I talked about this ages ago on one of the previous podcasts, and I said it should be restarted again because of the poor early bird pledges that were on there. And lo and behold, they did cancel it and said they're going to come back, and they did, and it's now back out. But I it astounds me this company thinks they can get away with this. I mean, no early birds this time, apart from the fact the whole Kickstarter is an early bird. So it's $38 to buy this game. To get it shipped to the UK, you're looking at $54. I mean, with the price, with the pound difference now, that's just not selling it to me. Okay. They've not really, I don't know why, what they plan to do with this. I mean, they must be going on some kind of mathematical calculation of why it's going to cost this much and things like that, but you don't really get a lot in the box for what it is. They've got a lot of custom stuff already by the looks of it, but just don't think it's worth it, and they're struggling. I mean, this has been out for a good week or so, and they've dropped down their goal for funding significantly, but they've still not reached it. And after a week or more, they should have reached it. It should be there, and only at $5,000. Yeah, something's not quite right with this. There's all good thoughts in this game and good stuff going on, but there's a shift somewhere, and I can't help them. I'm still back in Parthenogenesis, which is the deck building game about killing a human being because you're a virus or bacterial thing. That's still going quite strongly and doing quite well. Lots of stretch goals have been unlocked, and they are nearly at 55,000. That's pretty good. That was their overall goal they wanted to get to, which they are at. And so they're doing them pretty well, but they are at 49 hours, so you're going to have a day or two left to do anything with this. So, yeah, I think this is going to be my last Kickstarter. But then there is Tiny Epic Quest coming out probably in about 3 days, actually. So I will check that out. That'll probably be my last Kickstarter of the year. See how it is really first and see what they're adding. But so yeah, I think I'm going to end it there. Running out of voice. I'm 30 minutes long, maybe a few minutes to cut out. And everyone hates listening to someone just drone on with the same stuff. So I'm going to close it out, and hopefully next episode some of the regulars will be back and we'll be all refreshed again. We'll have lots to talk about. And so yeah, check us out there. And the first Monday of the month we'll be back out. So this has been episode 20 of the Devon Dice podcast. I got it right first time. I'd like to thank you for listening if you stay tuned all the way through. And check us out next show. Pop along to the Facebook page, Devon Dice Presents. Have a chat with us there. Follow us on Twitter, Devon Dice UK, for all the updates. Go to our guild and Board Game Geek. You can go there, say hello, have a chat, put anything up. We don't mind. Devon Dice or number 2421. Don't forget the blogging site where you can catch up with all the reviews I've been writing, and the videos will be posted there as well, and the podcasts and anything else, and our club on Thursday nights. You can find out information there and see pictures, devondice.co.uk. I've been your host, Joel Wright, and you can find me on Twitter and BoardGameGeek as the Press Monkey. Join us next episode 21, out next month, with the usual nonsense we like to talk about. Games we've played, news, Kickstarters, and much more. I've been your host, Devon Dice, the podcast, and goodbye. And remember, if you're really busy and really struggling, make room, play one game. It will chill you out, relax you, and then you can get back to the rubbish stuff in life.